good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks very much for tuning in. Coming to you tonight from KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona, the flagship station of the Nova M Radio Network. We've been out here for a couple of days, and if you attended the event that Nova M had for the first birthday party on Sunday afternoon, let's say it together. Woo! Damn! Okay, now let's get to the serious business. The shooting in Virginia today is beyond me. I don't know how to discuss this story. I don't know what to say about it. The news media can simply report it as the horror it is. They can interview witnesses. They can show up at the press conferences. And some of them will ask very stupid questions, as they did today. Totally asinine questions that have nothing to do with something that had just happened. But how do you discuss it in your private conversations, or even more insanely, how do you discuss it on talk radio? I honestly don't know. Do you? One of the things we could do is reference H. Rapp Brown's penetratingly raw statement from a few years ago that violence is as American as apple pie. Huh? That wouldn't go over very well, would it? Do you point out what to some of us is obvious, that in a society like ours that accepts the sort of violence we have perpetrated against Iraqis, and they're just the latest victims of our war lust, that violence here at home, really, if you want to get real basic about it, should not come as a shock. It's more like an expectation, isn't it? Huh? Want to talk about gun control? There's a waste of time. So where does a discussion about what happened today in Virginia go? I mean, it's almost like, what's the point? This has happened before. This will happen again. It may happen tomorrow morning. It's a psychosis of some sort, and it's not just in this society. Although we kind of take the record for school shootings, I know there have been occasions in the UK, in Russia, in Japan. But it's an ongoing horror story here. The slaughter of innocents, the Amish school shooting of, when was that? Last year, 18 months ago? Jesus God. I mean, so I got near a television today and was watching CNN and then MSNBC. As they attempted to cover this story on CNN, Blitzer or somebody had on Dr. Gupta, Sanjay Gupta, talking about how difficult to deal with a tragedy of this size. It's almost impossible for hospitals in the Virginia area where this occurred to deal with this. 33 dead, as many as 20 wounded. Which immediately raised the question for me, okay, I don't disagree, but how is this handled on a daily basis in Iraq? In several cities at once. With no police, essentially, no investigators, no EMTs adequate to the task, no water if it's a certain time of the day, no electricity if it's a certain time of day, no drugs, no surgical supplies, no sterile equipment, no ventilators. So that's an angle, right? Looking for angles in the story. It's just insane. Bush said today that when he came out and made his usual unctuous, half-witted statement, something to the effect that schools should be sanctuaries of safety and learning. Well, in today's USA Today, in an article that I want to talk a little bit about tonight, there's a picture of students in Iraq. And if you saw this, you can see it online. Go to usatoday.com. There's the picture on the front page. A ratty-looking cement-block school building with a couple, three kids peering out of a window that is covered with iron bars. Right outside the window is one American GI standing there fully armed and another GI climbing to the top of the school building in order to get a vantage point to, I don't know, check out the neighborhood or shoot somebody. But here are the soldiers making this school a target for whomever doesn't want our asses in Iraq. So there it is. I mean, there it is, right on the cover of USA Today. The story is 70% of Iraqi school children show symptoms of trauma. Really? So when Bush comes out and says schools should be sanctuaries of safety and learning, what is he talking about? Is he talking about schools in the so-called inner city Chicago? Is that what he's talking about? Is he talking about schools in the ghettos of America's cities? Are they sanctuaries of safety and learning? Huh? Is he talking about the schools in Iraq? How about Afghanistan? Oh, that's right. Those are bad schools. Those are madrasas. We can bomb them. But what the hell is he talking about? You know, once again, when the country desperately needs leadership, everything has to be filtered through what Bush and his organization, his mob, has done in Iraq. The lies, the daily murder that is occurring as a result of our presence, of our being there. I don't care how you slice it, because we're there. People are dying. They're dying by the hundreds. And Bush talks about schools being sanctuaries of safety and learning. Yeah. And then the highest irony today, I thought I was going to lose it. Wolf Blitzer has this graduate student from the university on talking about what the grad student had shot with his cell phone. And it was all over CNN today, the video with the 37 shots. Jesus, it reminds me of a song by The Boss, you know, 41 shots by Springsteen. So here's this grad student in engineering, Wolf Blitzer, CNN's on-the-scene reporter who shot the cell phone video. And Wolf interviews him for 15 minutes. And this man is talking with broken English. And then his name comes up. They identify him. And you think, oh, my God, he's from the Middle East. And then Wolf asks him where he's from. Oh, my God, he's from the West Bank of Palestine. Oh, my God. You want irony? You want insanity? There you go. So where do you go with this story? Huh? Where do you go? 33 dead. Deadliest shooting rampage in American history. Really? I didn't know that. I would think like what happened at Wounded Knee was the deadliest shooting rampage in American history. Whose history? White people's history? Native Americans' history? Black folks' history? What about the riots in Florida back in the 20s, where I don't know how many black people were butchered in the streets? 30, 40, 50? But all of a sudden today, as bloody as this situation was at Virginia Tech, 33 people, the deadliest shooting rampage in American history. Okay, so we don't count the black mass murders because some of those people were hanged. Oops, this is just for shootings. Okay, gotcha. What the hell are they talking about when the New York Times and CNN and the Washington Post and MSNBC and ABC and CBS and NBC, they all talk about the deadliest shooting rampage in American history? 33 people dead. So how do you talk about this? If it happens to white people, it's a son of a bitch, isn't it? Huh? It's just a massive, overwhelming event. Isn't that the way it goes? I'm not here to bust up on white people. I are one. But good God in heaven, when it was over, even the sidewalks were stained with blood. And among those dead was the gunman. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. So, I guess we should discuss this a bit. I'm willing to take some calls about it. Although, like I say, I don't know how you do that. But once again, Bush with inappropriate statements. You know, his the White House deputy press secretary, too much cappuccino Perino, says he was horrified, and his immediate reaction was one of deep concern for the families of the victims, the professors, all the people of Virginia who have dealt with this shocking incident. Immediately followed, and I don't know which statement was first, the president believes that there is a right for people to bear arms. I mean, is there never a time when one of these events occurs that, you know, some government geek doesn't have to stand up and say, well, there is a right to bear arms, you know, occasionally this is going to happen. 30, 40, 50 people are going to be iced, but, you know, there's a right for people to bear arms. Oh, for Christ's sake. Don't they ever give, does, you know, when somebody is tossed out of a legislative hearing in Washington, does somebody immediately stand, well, there is a right to the First Amendment? No, they don't. These cowardly bastards. I'd like to hear one politician stand up and say, and I think Randy Rhodes said it today, there is no right to bear arms. It doesn't exist. And you and I have a gun. I have several guns. And I'll throw the sons of bitches in a slag heap as soon as you do. As soon as I don't fear my government. There is no constitutional right to bear arms. And you know it, and I know it, unless you're one of these right-wing gun nuts who doesn't understand anything about the Constitution. It's up to the states to decide whether or not you can carry a gun or own a gun. The Supreme Court of the United States has never interpreted the Second Amendment to mean you have a right to keep and bear arms, please, unless you're part of an organized militia. Hello! That's the National Guard. Hello, that Bush has destroyed. So I'm sick of the right to bear arms talk. It just turns my stomach. And I'm sure these rats come crawling out of the woodwork today before the corpses are even cold. You know, before the blood has coagulated, the gun nuts are out there saying, well, now this doesn't mean, you know, now the right liberals are going to be talking about a gun grab. You evil bastards. I just hate you so much, I can hardly stand it. Oh, and by the way, 34 people were killed in 6 bombings in Baghdad while we were dealing with 33 killed in Virginia. Just never stops, does it, huh? So I don't know. I don't know how to talk about this. I don't know how to talk about it. But I swear to God, if you're going to call me up and tell me about the right to bear arms, don't do it tonight. I don't want your phone call. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to smell you. I don't want to hear what you got to say. I don't give a goddamn what you say about the right to bear arms. I don't want to hear it. So if you're on hold and you want to talk to me about the right to bear arms, get off my program. To hell with you. Go to some right-wing program. Go to Limbaugh's and talk about it. I don't want to hear it. This is a tragedy because we live in a society that just feeds on tragedy, that promotes tragedy. We export tragedy. We invade countries for no reason. We blow people up. We murder children. We firebomb cities. We do it all. And it's hell when it comes home and hits white people in Southern Virginia. It's a bitch, isn't it? Huh? Doesn't it hurt? Doesn't it hurt? It hurts me. I'm sure it hurts you. So what do we do? How do you talk about this, huh? What do you talk about? What do you say? Do you know, maybe we should just forget the phone calls and let's move on. Let's talk about Gonzales. That'll make sense, right? Let's talk about 70% of Iraqi school children that show symptoms of traumatic behavior, bedwetting, stuttering, stress-related reaction to their city being bombed and blown up and corpses. USA Today, which I normally don't read. Many Iraqi children have to pass dead bodies on the street as they walk to school. They've seen their relatives killed, or they themselves have been injured in mortar attacks. How do you talk about this, huh?
They pulled in just behind the bridge. He lays her down, he frowns. Gee, my life's a funny thing. Am I still too young? He kissed the woman there. She took his ring, took his babies. It took him minutes, took her nowhere. Heaven knows he'd have taken anything.
All night.
She was a young American.
About 26 before the hour. The phone number here is 800-989-1480. My name is Mike Malloy. Okay, let me apologize as I do all the time about the language. I get very upset about this, and I've been telling myself, you know, just dial it back a little bit on some of the curse words, and I do try, and then I lose it. So. To the young people who are the adults can deal with it, but to the young people who listen to the program out there, that's you know, it's inappropriate, and I do apologize. No, but nobody ever tells me that. Nobody at Nova M, nobody at KPCH, nobody. My wife doesn't. Nobody ever says. But you know, we all know. We're all brought up by adults who told us you're not supposed to talk that way. It makes me out of my mind sometimes when something like this comes up. I feel so just blown away for the families. How are the families going to deal with this? Like, how do the families who lose men and now young women in Iraq, I'm talking Americans now, how do they deal with that? How did the Iraqis, every time I turn around, I see pictures of children or mothers in Iraq who are just the looks on their faces are just looks of abject horror, stuff that's never going to go away. And then I think about your kid or my kid, how they don't pass corpses on their way to school. They're not lined up in a classroom at a Amish school in Pennsylvania or a college in Virginia and executed by some crazy psycho. You know, it's almost too much, right? It's almost too much, almost too much. The study from Iraq says the study shows the impact of the violence and insecurity on children and on children's mental health. They have fear every day. How do you do that? How do you grow up in a war zone, especially in a war zone that didn't have to be a war zone? That is only a war zone because some psychopathic bastard in this country decided to make it a war zone. What do you do if you're Iraqi parents? How do you explain the soldiers, the American soldiers? Well, they're here to what? To overthrow the government? Done. To execute Saddam? Done. To get the oil? Done. To establish a so-called democracy in an area that doesn't want it? Done. To put in a puppet government? Done. Well, then why are they still here? And these children that watch this, I don't care if they're American children or Iraqi children or Palestinian children or Israeli children, it doesn't make any difference. The bombing, the terrorist bombing, the blowing up, the suicide bombers, the jets that come streaking out of the sky with death, all of it, all of it. You think you can handle it? Okay, you can handle it. We're safe here, right? We only have to deal with something like this. And unless we're family members or part of that community at Virginia Tech, oh, wow, man, did you hear what happened? Oh, Jesus, really? Yeah, terrible, terrible. We don't have to deal with it. We don't have to deal with it. The rest of the world deals with this. And what about the kids? What do you think? I mean, what would you think? These children, this entire generation, all these kids, and I'm talking about all of them, You know, Lebanese children, Iraqi children, Israeli children, Palestinian children. Jesus, it just doesn't stop, does it? Our children. How do you raise your kids here in safe and secure America, except when the Bush crime family wants to allow a mass death event to occur like they did on September 11, 2001? How do you explain to your kids? How am I supposed to explain to mine that the world it's a little dangerous, but you don't have to worry about being blown up and your arms blown off, or mommy and daddy having their guts ripped out, or your school being blown up, or some psychopath coming in and executing you? How do you tell your kids that when you know damn good and well that could happen any second? How do you do that? How do you do that, huh? How do you talk about this subject tonight? How do you talk about this? Do you trivialize it and turn it into a Second Amendment issue? Do you trivialize it further and say, well, the guy's a psychopath that did it? Do you trivialize it even further and say, well, stuff happens? Guns don't kill people. People kill people. Yeah. So I, you know, if you want to take a shot at it, okay, let's take a shot at it. No pun intended. Oh my God, what is this? Danny in Maryland? Okay, Danny, welcome to the program. Hey, Danny.
Well, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I know, you know, I hope you don't start screaming at me, but
well, then don't say something grossly asinine.
Okay, I know, for example, in Israel, there is a lot of, civilians that carry weapons. And I'm not saying everybody in the school should carry a weapon, but could it be like a marshal service? Like they have, like, marshal services where people are trained, or they go into, like, a training program where if you don't know who's in the marshal service, you essentially, if some guy like this could wreak havoc like this, at least somebody be there and trained to stop that person.
That's so you're saying have a gunfight in the halls of a school?
Well, look, I'm not saying.
Is that what you're saying?
Okay, Mike, what I am saying is that if somebody was there trained and brave enough to
have a gun
that'd be a plus?
To have a gunfight in the halls of a school.
So you're saying a slaughter versus a gunfight, which you would...
No, I'm not. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm not going to go along with the Hollywood version of some sharpshooter who whips out his service revolver and shoots some psychopath running from classroom to classroom. You must be out of your mind. That's not how it works in the real world. Have you seen too many movies? How about this? How about just banning guns altogether? We can't have that. No, let's have armed marshals.
Mike, are you going to turn your guns in first?
In a New York minute.
Well, then go ahead. What can I say? You know,
that's not the point. That's not the point. To ask me a question like that is not the point. Of course I would. Of course I would. But I'm not a psychopath. First of all, I'm not going to go into a school and shoot children. I'm not going to bomb Iraq. I'm not going to suicide myself with a belt around me and get on a bus in Tel Aviv. I'm not going to get on board an F-16 in Israel and go strafe and bomb a Palestinian village. I'm not going to be a madman in downtown Iraq and blow myself up and take 37 innocent civilians with me. So your question to me is bat squeeze, and you know it is. If this society produces people who will willingly support a president who orders a war against an innocent people and willingly supports the idea of what you just brought up, marshals, armed marshals inside a school, then we are sick beyond curing. Let's get it over. Bring on the global warming. Let's all take one last deep breath, party hardy, and drop dead.
Can I ask you one last question?
Sure. Go ahead.
Ben, you're saying that there'll be a day there no guns will exist then?
I don't know what I'm saying. Thanks, Danny. I appreciate your call. It doesn't make any sense, but what the hell? Very very little makes sense right now anyway. Arm marshals in school. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, how about elementary school? How about kindergarten, first and second graders? And we've got an arm marshal or two or six. I mean, how many do you want? And All of a sudden, one bright sunny day, some psychopath walks in, and he's pissed off because his wife is leaving him, so he goes to school to kill his second grader to get back at his wife, right? And all of a sudden, you have little children running all over the hallway screaming. You have teachers freaking out. Oh, and here comes the marshal! Open fire! Drill the bastard! Quick! Yeah, that certainly makes sense. Let's have more guns, not less. You know, that's the way it works in Georgia now. If everybody's armed, you see, the theory goes everybody will be polite, which is the most asinine, backwards thinking. If you sat down and came up with an idea, what can I come up with today that is the most asinine, backwards thing I can think of? Oh, I know. It'll be this. Let's everybody have a gun, like the Wild Wild West, and then everybody will know that everybody has a gun. And crime will stop, and the flowers will bloom, and the birdies will sing, and our children will go to Sunday school, and everything will just be peachy keen. Rather than, if everybody has a gun, and somebody pisses somebody off in the heat of the moment, and person A draws down on person B, and person B says, "You ain't gonna take me alive!" And the gunfight starts. Isn't that more of a reasonable scenario in a psycho a situation? Everybody have guns and then everybody will behave. Are you out of your mind? Why do you think gun laws were passed to begin with? Well, I can see how this discussion is going to go. More of your phone calls when we come back. I'm Mike Molloy. This is Nova M. About 9 before the hour. Libby writes in regarding the marshals that the caller was talking about. They had campus cops. What more did they need? Yeah. Well, and how many? You know, how many marshals do we have? Do we have one for every building on campus? Do we have two for every building? Do we have one for every 10 students? Do we have one for every 10 parking spaces? It's insane. Speaking of insane, okay, Doug is calling from Riverside, California. Welcome to the program, Doug.
How do you do there?
I'm doing fine.
I came in here and I knew all this stuff was just going to, I mean, it's a horrific thing that happened. My heart goes out for, the victims, their loved ones and their friends and everything, but
screw it. Screw them, right?
What?
Screw them, though, really.
No. The Chinese let the genie out of the bottle when they created black powder 1,000 years ago.
Okay, thanks, Doug. Adios. Go play with yourself or go get a firecracker and blow your fingers off. Get out of here, the Chinese. Oh, for Christ's sake. I want my guns! It's not my fault, it's the Chinese fault, those evil Chinese. Norm is calling from Phoenix. Norm, welcome to the program. Hey, Norm.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
I'm doing well, just like you. This is a surreal, weird day. You know, I had a couple of quick points I wanted to make about the Iraq thing, tying this back, but these two callers have got me on another tangent, which is, first of all, I just heard an IMIS parallel from what that last guy said, which was this shooting was horrible, but having said that, don't take away my guns.
Yeah.
Like, what IMIS said was horrible, but having said that, don't take him off the air. You know, I mean,
right.
People got to think about what they really think is important. But the other guy with the, now that somebody's used a gun to kill all these people, the solution is give everybody a gun. Why don't we do that with drunk driving? You know how the drunk always walks away because he feels no pain?
So everybody get drunk before
everybody
I get
beat.
Everybody get
drunk, and then there won't be less of a problem. You know, it's about the same logic.
You know, it just always staggers me, aside from whether gun ownership makes sense or not. It staggers me, the kind of sideways logic, inverted logic, sphincter muscle logic people come up with about, well, if you want to reduce shootings and killings, give everybody a gun. What the hell is – I mean, how did we get in this country to people who can dial a phone, obviously, or they wouldn't be on the program, who can put together a coherent sentence that has subject, verb, object, and make a statement like that?
Because they like to shoot guns.
Ah, you know? Well.
They like to bang bang, you know. But,
Jesus,
you know,
God.
You were talking about essentially the surreality of this morning's scene with the Middle Eastern cell phone cameraman.
Yeah,
you know, I saw that his name on the screen, and I was like, oh no.
Yeah. Right. And then when he turns, I thought he was going to be Iranian.
I know. I was like, oh my God, why is he? You know, he just happened to be there. I was thinking like, oh please don't. We don't need any. You know. But the thing that struck me, in addition to that, was when the governor made the president of the university, I guess, made his statement. He was talking about the 911 call.
Right.
But what he said was the first 9/11 call
came in,
you know, and it was also weird. But just the thing that struck me, you're talking about the parents and their kids, the Iraqi parents and their kids.
Mm-hmm.
A sad commentary, I think, on how messed up things are in Iraq and how many parents, how many kids are being killed over there, that it's almost in some sick way becoming not that big of a deal was – when they blew up the parliament last week, I missed this. I didn't really catch the fact when they, I mean, I knew they blew up a bridge.
Right.
But it was the bridge.
Yeah.
And people were sitting there weeping at this bridge. And there was a front page New York Times story. I don't know if you mentioned this or not, or saw it. But I was blown away. There was a man quoted on this front page story who said, "I wish they had killed one of my kids instead of blowing up that bridge. That bridge was a piece of my heart." And he had some other comments that he didn't see. He was otherwise normal sounding, but I was aghast.
No, I missed that one.
And I said, I was, what it said to me about what's happening over, like, oh, yeah, everybody's losing kids, but we needed that bridge. That was the symbol of that. It was like, how twisted are things in Iraq, and how, you know, ridiculous the idea that we're going to beat these insurgents over there because... we all were like, oh, my God, they can strike anywhere. They struck in parliament. But they also took out this symbol and separated the Sunni and Shiite Baghdad.
Right.
And it's like these guys know how to get to people.
They really do. And that's one of the reasons we have lost this war big time.
Yep.
We lost it months ago, if not years ago. The only thing that's going to happen in Iraq is, as the Bush crime family continues to try to solidify its control on Iraqi oil, in that process, more Iraqis are going to die, more Americans are going to die. There is no freaking way that this is going to turn out any way other than that.
But what I'm worried about is I saw a couple of follow-up comments to, like, internet news stories, Reuters stories, AP stories today,
right,
and a blogger guy and different, you know, probably some of the same crowd, like, you know, your gun callers here, who were saying, you know, give the surge time. It's only been a few weeks. And, on the McCain track, and it's, you know, more bodies are showing up today in Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
It's like these guys won't get it through their heads that we're the ones under the time pressure. They're not.
That's right.
They can wait, and they know just how to turn up the heat and where to turn up the heat, the psychological torment and hell. And the longer we stay there, the more that's going to happen. And like you said, why? For no reason. We've imposed this on Iraq, and if we don't watch out, we're going to do something similar to Iran.
Yeah, and in the process, we do it to ourselves. Hey, listen, thanks, Norm.
Take care. Great seeing you yesterday.
All right. Yeah, my pleasure.
Okay.
Appreciate your call. Take care. The Chinese. they invented wonton soup. So that's how we got bombs. Jesus, what is wrong with people? We'll take a break. We'll be back. Stay with us. Coming to you from the lovely city of Phoenix, I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. My name is Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. And the program is coming to you tonight from our flagship station, KPHX in Phoenix, which is certainly a sight to behold. The city, the station, the whole thing. And all of it just clouded by these horrible events of today. Andrew in Birmingham sent an email during the break regarding marshals in schools, which one of the callers suggested, armed marshals in our schools. Oh, my God. Hi, Mike. Yes, if there are marshals in schools, they can add to the chaos in a lethal situation. And, yes, there's the question of how many marshals is enough. But also, when you've got someone with a gun in every school or in every building or around every corner, then what happens when one of them has their own personal problem and goes on a murder or suicide rampage? Or if more than one does? It doesn't matter if psychological evaluations are required before hiring someone to that sort of position. People will slip through, either due to sloppiness or neglect or cunning. The more people you have in schools with guns, the more dangerous it is, period. Who but authoritarians feel safe when they're surrounded by armed strangers? That's very true. Who but totalitarians, authoritarians? This is from Mark in Melbourne, Australia. Mike, after the horrible Port Arthur massacre in Tasmania in 1996, the best thing the Howard government did was to have a huge gun buyback. We had the amazing sight around the country of people queuing up with guns in hand in the street outside police stations and halls to hand in their guns for cash. The guns were immediately cut up in front of them when they handed them in. I would say the vast majority of people handed their guns in. Those who insist on still keeping a gun for sporting purposes, or the farmers who need a .22 or a shotgun, are registered and regulated and must have them locked in an approved safe at home or at the shooting club. The guns they can have are not high-powered and not automatic, as these are illegal here, as are handguns. In Australia now, we feel very safe, and really the only people who have guns in public are the police. We still have a rare shooting by someone who has a gun illegally, but this might only happen once or twice a year. Australia now feels and is a very safe place to live. Mark in Melbourne. Yeah. All right. I guess we'll continue this if you still want to talk about it. I hate topics like this, but because there is it just degenerates into this is like getting an atheist and a Christian together, and the atheist is trying to defend evolution, and the Christian is trying to defend this talking snake theory of creation, and they just sit there and talk right past each other. I've been there, done that, so do you, so have you. But we'll go ahead and take a few more calls on this. How about Paul in Springfield, Massachusetts? Paul, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hey. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Oh, man, I'll tell you, this is horrible. Yeah, I just can't believe that the media is asking all these tough questions, to these police of Virginia Tech about, you know, what's going on. It seems like they're looking for someone to blame.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't ask any tough questions to our politicians when it comes to getting us into wars that kill people.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? I watched that today as much as of that press briefing that I could stand, and listening to those questions and it's just after a while I just couldn't stand it. Like who are these people that are allegedly represent? Certainly, the press in Virginia, in South Central Virginia, if not the national press, who are these people? What are these questions? What the hell are they talking about? And 33 people get killed, shot down in cold blood or hot blood, should be in this country. And do these same reporters queue up and ask the senators or the representatives, why are you supporting a war in Iraq where this many people are killed every single day? I know that's an unfair thing to say. I know it sounds crappy coming out of my mouth because these are Americans and those are only Iraqis. But it just I don't know what to say. I don't know what to think.
Yeah, but I just, it's also just amazes me, confuse liberty with weaponry, it's a fool's right to their tools of rage. That's what this whole gun thing is. It's unbelievable.
I hear you. All right, thanks, Paul. Appreciate you checking in. Simon in the UK writes in, how long before the Blame Entertainment Brigade jumps on this tragedy? It's as predictable as day following night. The target after Columbine was Marilyn Manson. I wonder who's going to be declared the root of all evil this time. I expect to hear, among others, Lieberman's whiny voice any minute now, putting the blame squarely on the latest movie or CD or video game. Of course, to leave out the fact that us foreigners get the same entertainment, and these shootings occur extremely rarely over here. Simon in the UK, P.S. Can't Bush keep his trap shut just once? Any president you could name could manage a message of condolence after a tragedy, but not this moron. Yeah. Yeah, our thoughts and prayers are with you, but we certainly believe in the right to own guns. Alyssa, excuse me, Alyssa is calling from Emeryville, California. Alyssa, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike. I was actually waiting for you to come on because I was getting so irritated by the media and everything and wondering, like, am I completely off base in the way that I'm processing this? Because I'm just so pissed at our government and Gonzalez and his words that he can't resign because he has to protect our kids.
Yeah, doing a good job, isn't he? Yeah.
Exactly, and I hope that's the first question they ask him. But it's like, what are we doing here? Sometimes I get so overwhelmed by how tragic, because to me a life is a life, whether it's in Iraq. You know, you see the pictures of the kids' faces,
sure.
And it's just so sad.
Sure.
And it's like, but I get so overwhelmed with how big that is that I forget to look into our own streets and what's happening to our schools and our kids,
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, really tragic. It's before this happened, it was so much easier to be concerned about local, I was so much more idealistic about, start a school and do these great things. And now it seems almost, maybe I'm in a bad state, but it just seems so kind of hopeless against this administration or this government right now.
Well, I'd hear you loud and clear. Thanks, Alyssa. Thanks for checking in. Seth is calling from Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Seth, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. I've got 3 points, and, it's amazing. Number one, how many more times do we have to endure the hapless, helpless face of George Bush trying to explain something? It happened after 9/11. It happened after the Columbia disaster. Now it's happened here.
Happened after Katrina.
After Katrina, I can go on and on. There's just too many to recount.
Mm-hmm.
Second, my second point is the following. The folks who are so adamant about the Second Amendment and their right to bear arms,
mm-hmm.
they want more than the right to bear arms. They want the right to kill on a whim.
Yes,
and
sure.
I am absolutely convinced of that.
I think so, too.
Yeah. And finally, my last point, if
we lost five soldiers today in Iraq. That makes 60 for this month. We're on track for one of the deadliest months ever.
Yeah.
You know, I get emotional about this because I still have friends overseas, and it's like this has been relegated back to the back pages.
Mm-hmm.
When are we going to remove this corrupt administration from our environment?
I wish I had an answer to that one. I hear you, though. Thanks, Seth.
You're welcome. Talk to you soon.
Appreciate you checking in. Take care.
All right.
Yeah, you know, his Seth's point is pretty much right on. In Georgia now, we have a law passed by this Republican administration we have and the Republican legislature that if I have a gun and you do something out in public where I feel threatened and I shoot you, that is now an allowable defense. I felt threatened and I shot him. Now, how do you threaten me? I don't know. What if I'm just in a bad mood and I think you look at me wrong? And I think to myself, well, he's looking at me like he wants to beat me up. I think I'll kill him. That's what these Second Amendment freaks really mean. About 21 past the hour, and the Second Amendment, you know, y'all know what it is, a well-regulated militia. Those are the first four words, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And that's why I hate to bring up the Second Amendment, because you can argue that back and forth until you're blue in the face. Which is the more important phrase, a well-regulated militia or the right of the people to keep and bear arms? You just argue it until hell freezes over. It doesn't make any difference. As far as the kinds of weaponry available in this society, it's obscene. And every time the Congress, you know, some liberal gets an idea in Congress, look, maybe we shouldn't have semi-automatic weapons included in the right to bear arms. I mean, after all, when they wrote the Second Amendment, it took about 5 minutes to load a ball into a rifle and set it off with a firing cap and a wad and click, boom. You know, and then it took you another 5 minutes. Jesus. But no, semi-automatic or weapons that have a semi-automatic mechanism that can be converted to fully automatic, and all of a sudden you have the sort of weapon, a street sweeper, something that will wipe out scores of people without, you know, pulling the trigger more than once. It's insane. It's just insane. I'll tell you, I'm ashamed. When I talk to people from different countries who say, oh, you're American. Ah, yeah. You all have a gun problem, don't you? What's up with your gun thing? What is that? I can't explain it. Can you? Claudia in Kentucky writes, just applying that nutballs gun solution, you know, everybody gets one. To a couple other problems, like giving everybody drugs will end drug abuse. Well, I don't know. How about everybody gets nuclear weapons so nobody misuses them either, right? How obscenely illogical is this? Well, the whole concept of everybody owning nukes, if you remember back in the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s and even today, although we don't talk about it, is the idea of mutual assured destruction. And on a scale the size that nuclear weapons operate, it makes some kind of obscene sense, doesn't it? If you factor in the extermination of the human race, this is where it just gets mind-bogglingly, stupefyingly insane. Everybody has a nuke. Everybody, at one time being the United States and the Soviet Union. And then there's peace. Because if they launch, we launch. And the rest of the world can go screw itself. You know, if you live in Ghana, you're going to die. You don't have anything to do with the war, but you're still going to die when the nuclear radiation hits you. If you live in Colombia, you're going to die. Doesn't make any difference whether you believe in nukes or not. You're still going to die. You live in Japan, good night. Oh, that's right. You guys have already died once. So it's obscene. Obscene. Ward, who's writing from Japan. Mike, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but the gun-happy idiots who called tick me off. Grow up, people. Let our kids grow up in safety. I used to own guns, and as a teenager earned the sharpshooter bar V from the NRA, of which I was a member. But there came a point in my adult life when I realized that no matter what happened, I would not want to kill another human being, and that avoiding the situation was a better strategy. Now I'm in Japan, and guns are not an issue. How many of these tragedies do we have to endure before the source of the problem is addressed? And then he quotes this from the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta. Quote, American children are more at risk from firearms than the children of any other industrialized nation. In 1 year, firearms killed no children in Japan, 19 in Great Britain, 57 in Germany, 109 in France, 153 in Canada, and 5,285 in the United States. Ward. Okay, back to your phone calls. Rocco is calling from Rosedale, New York. Rocco, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, sir.
I'm glad you brought up that point about the Second Amendment. It's quite insane how people ignore the first couple of phrases there.
Yeah.
You know, and I just wanted to mention, you know, like you said before, there are these weapons that, you know.
Hey, Rocco, can you hold on?
Sure.
I went on too long and took your call at the wrong time. So just stay there. We'll come back after the break and pick it up there, okay?
Thanks.
All right. This is Air America. No, it isn't. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Mike Malloy coming to you from KPHX in Phoenix tonight. Stay with us. If you don't have the phone number, it's 800-989-1480. We'll be back after the break. It's about 26 before the hour. We're talking with Rocco, who has called in from Rosedale, New York. All right, Rocco, thanks for holding on.
Thanks, Mike. So what I was trying to get to say is that, you know, back when the Constitution was written, state-of-the-art arms were as a flintlock, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well, today, what's the state-of-the-art arms?
Fully automatic weapons that can cut a person in half in about 6 seconds.
Try a tactical nuclear device.
Sure.
So why shouldn't I be able to have that if you use the same logic that the gun toters use to carry guns?
Sure. Sure.
I don't understand what their problem is.
I think the reason people own or carry guns is fear. I know that was the case in my situation when I was told 15 or 16 years ago that it might be a good idea to take a firearms training program, get a license, and carry a gun because of the threats that I was getting in Georgia. So the only reason that I ever got a gun was abject fear, the thought that I can't protect myself, without some sort of a weapon. And now a lot of time has passed. I still own guns, and whether or not I still carry them is beside the point. But I would like to just toss them in the gutter. I hate guns. I hate anything that carries with it that potential for violence, especially against innocent people.
Sure.
And it's horrifying, just horrifying.
But Mike, here's one thing that, you say that you carry that out of fear. I mean, I know, well, I'm from Brooklyn, New York originally, and we all used to carry around baseball bats.
Yeah, right.
So we didn't even need guns down there.
Right. I hear you.
Look, man, I don't know where to go.
Yeah, I don't either. But thanks for checking in, Rocco.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Talk to you later. Couple emails here from Kathy. Mike, I really love swearing with you. I also scream at the worst administration in our history. I'm writing on the evening of the massacre in Virginia. I'm writing to ask you, why don't you turn in your guns, lead a movement to bring back strict gun controls, lead a movement for gun owners to turn their guns in. If someone had just tuned into your program now and did not know that you own guns, they would believe that you did not own a gun, let alone more than one. Keep up the good work. You're probably right if somebody never heard this program before, but I've said it over and over and over again that I do own guns. I don't like that fact. I have had guns in my home through the raising of children and all the weirdness that goes with that and the potential for horrifying tragedy. And I understand that, and I may just be on the brink of saying to hell with it and throwing them all in the creek that runs behind our house. I don't know. I don't know anymore. I don't know. This is from Sand. I'll just say Sand. Mike, regarding your caller who wanted armed marshals in our schools, perhaps he would like to see automated robot killer units that would efficiently fire a few rounds at any person firing a gun in a, quote, protected, end quote, zone. These units would be ceiling mounted in all classrooms, hallways, corridors, etc. While they might kill innocent people, it would follow the Bush war credo of, quote, shoot first and ask questions later, or better yet, ask no questions at all. End quote. This approach would certainly please those who embrace the advent of Big Brother. I've always been against guns. However, I'm starting to wonder if the ridiculous level of gun ownership in this country is the only thing standing between the American people and the full implementation of fascism by the criminals currently running and ruining this nation. Oh, it's from Allen. Excuse me, in Oakland. P.S. Samantha forgives you for your harsh language. It is justified in our present circumstances. Well, I don't know. A couple more very quickly here, if you don't mind. Let me see. This is from Matt in Madison, Wisconsin. Dear Mike, when are we going to admit it? Americans love violence. We love watching it on television or video games. The suffering and slaughter of brown or yellow or black people doesn't make much impression on us. Hell, we like to chip in every once in a while. We love this stuff. This is a sick, sick culture. And from Master Miller, I like how that last caller tried to use Israel as a, quote, gleaming example, end quote, for gun ownership. Lord knows that everyone owning a firearm in Israel has made it the most peaceful place on earth. That caller must have been an insane McCain supporter. Sorry for being cynical, but it's the only way to keep my head on straight these days. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, back to your phone calls. Kat is calling from Richmond, Virginia. Kat, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
A couple things. First of all, I am a professor at a small university in rural Virginia, about 180 miles east of Virginia Tech.
Uh-huh.
And we, of course, spent the entire day talking about this with my students and in my classes. And, of course, my students are numbed, which is ironic because they have classmates who have been called up to go serve another tour in Iraq.
Right.
And yet they're not numbed by that.
Yeah,
how
do you explain that?
Well, I think, and my students actually explained it today, is that things like Columbine and any other violence doesn't seem to touch them. These are people they know. I mean, every one of my students knows people at Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, they went to high school with them. Their best friends are there. It's not that far away.
Right.
And, you know, for them, it doesn't hit home until it's somebody that they know and care about. And I think that's really unfortunate and sad. And at least my students are now concerned about, you know, what some of your colleagues have been saying. They don't want marshals in our schools. They don't want their civil liberties trounced upon. But, you know, because guns are so available and so easy to get, especially in Virginia, you know, they say anybody could bring a gun on campus and nobody would know it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're a small campus.
Yeah.
And, you know, my students, their horror, a lot of them, was at how easy this is. And I lived in Ireland when Columbine happened. I was working for a newspaper over there. And the whole world, everybody from our perspective, everybody in Ireland looked at me and said, well, all Americans have guns, don't
mm-hmm.
they?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we don't. Some of us do. Some of us don't. I do not. But when things like this happen, the scrutiny of the world is turned back on our own society. And one of my students asked, why is that? And I said, because these school shootings don't happen anywhere else. For the most part,
mm-hmm.
it is rare to have a school shooting anywhere else because in a lot of countries, handguns are illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what these kids use. I mean, remember the Arkansas shooting when it was 8 and 10-year-olds using their parents' weapons to gun down their elementary school peers.
Right.
I mean, this doesn't happen in other countries in the world, and yet we claim we want democracy and peace elsewhere. I mean, this is the ultimate hypocrisy for the rest of the world to look at us and see this kind of violence in our schools. And at least I was gratified that my students are considering this, you know, in terms of not just fear on everybody needs a gun, but considering this in terms of, you know, if they crack down now, then all of our civil liberties or more of our civil liberties are going to be eroded.
Mm-hmm.
And at least the college students were talking about that, but they don't seem to be as affected by kids going off to Iraq. The Virginia National Guard is going to deploy again in June. One of my students already did a tour in Afghanistan, and he has been called up again and has been pulled out of college a second time to go to Iraq. And
right.
his response to all of his peers is vote Democrat and call your senators and call your Republicans or your call your senators and representatives and tell them to stop this insane war. But you know, it's not real for them. It's not real for the other students. It really isn't until it's people they know.
That's so true. And I can imagine how, and this does affect me, and it should affect all Americans, I think, how what you mentioned, how people look at us from around the world. We now are a country that sanctions torture. We have secret prison camps scattered around the planet. They're unanswerable to anybody, any international treaty, any American law, any law in the country in which we have these secret prisons. We invade countries on a whim. We put somehow our Supreme Court allows a madman to go into office, and then when he conducts an illegal war, if there is such a thing as a legal war, but when he just on a whim or because he's mad for oil invades another country, and daily hundreds of people are dying, children are being blown to pieces, and then we have this in this country, and I can't help but think that the rest of the world looks at the United States as right now the biggest exporter of violence on the planet, and the country, the society that contains violence on a level unheard of around the world, in societies comparable to ours. I understand that there is slaughter on a major scale that goes on in certain African states, in certain Asian states. I understand that, but in countries that are comparable to the United States, in terms of our economic system, our political system, our whatever the basis of comparison is, we stand out. We stand out as a just a flashing red light, as being an exporter of violence and being a domestic producer of violence. It's insane. Good luck with your... No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's the ultimate hypocrisy.
It is indeed.
Because, I mean, we decry genocide in Darfur. We decry violence. Or supposedly we decry violence elsewhere in the world, and yet we do nothing to stop it. Our government does nothing to stop it in our own country.
Well, I'm glad you called, Kat. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Mike.
All right, take care.
Only the world, but not for me.
It's about 10 before the hour. A couple more emails here. Kim, VeteransAgainstTorture.com, founding member and a founding member of Nova M. Kim, subject line, how insane are we? Kim writes, what's wrong with us? We spend well over half of every dollar paid into our treasury to build weapons, research new, more lethal weapons, fund wars, buy plastic arms and legs for blown-away veterans, arm police and troopers and sky marshals and maintain prisons and execute people, and all the while we're pushing our planet over the brink with greed and overconsumption while we ignore the starving and hungry and on and on and on and on. Why, Mike? What is really important? Well, apparently, to the people who lead us, I guess that's important. Bruce in San Francisco, subject line, what if there were gun control in Iraq pre-invasion? Hi, Mike. Just think what would have happened had there been gun control in Iraq. The Bush crime family would have been able to take over their oil, and none of the Iraqis would have been able to do a thing about it. Love your show, Bruce. Right now, I don't know if Bruce is being ironically sarcastic. I'm sorry you lost me there, Bruce. There is no gun control in Iraq except for women. Of course, women are not allowed to own guns. But and the Bush crime family did take over their oil on a profound level. It's written into their constitution, for God's sake. I don't know, Bruce, you lost me there. I don't know if you're being ironically sarcastic or what. Ron writes in, Mike, talking with the checker at the grocery store tonight, the subject of the Virginia Tech shooting came up as we did the conveyor belt pas de deux of American opulence, where the major brain bender of the day is usually whether we carry home our evening repast in paper or plastic. She expressed remorse in a common enough manner, nothing more than what could be expected when a person is faced with such a horror as we are via the corporate media echo chamber that will surely parade the dead for days to come to keep their bottom line juicy. She asked me my feeling on the matter, and I said I felt flatlined, like I was no longer surprised by how insanely vicious we human beings are, as if whatever veneer of civility that was assumed a part of our culture has been lost like demons from Pandora's box, loosed upon the world to seek recompense for dead in our wars of choice. The dead that are just as dead as any American co-ed, the dead and the main victims of this imperial presidency that infect every waking moment of our decadent, unexceptional days, dampening our spirits and reducing us many times to a stunned silence for the horror that no words can truly express. The writer Henry Miller said liquidation was the theme of the 20th century, yet for the 21st century it seems the theme is surrender. The surrender of those qualities that once gave dimension to the soul of mankind, the basis for our characters and the organizing principles of our society. Poof. The glue of our psyche is undone by the nightly cavalcade of mortality, statistics, and numbers that anesthetize us from any connection to the real life screams, the blood, and the unspeakable grief. The unspeakable grief of 70% of the children in Iraq? Jesus. Do we think as a society there would be no repercussions for this as we walk in a zombie-like state from one media event to the next? I don't know, Mike. I don't know. And yeah, another gun will make this all better. Ew. You folks are in rare form tonight, huh? Nothing like a mass killing on the ivied halls of American campuses to cause people to get myself at the head of the pack, to get weirded out. It is amazing, but it's not unexpected, is it, that the daily death in Iraq brought about by our presence, somehow we have learned to take the sharp punch in the gut that we get along about noon on CNN or MSNBC or wherever, when the death statistics from the previous day come in from Iraq, 64 killed in a blast, 89 killed in a blast, 110 killed in a blast, suicide bombers, car bombs, mosque explosions, marketplaces going up in a ball of flame and skin and teeth and eyes. And somehow we've learned, haven't we, after 4 years? I don't know how we do it. Maybe it's because the generation in control of everything is the generation that learned how to anesthetize itself against the reports coming from Vietnam up to a point. I really don't know. But you know, all that death and destruction that is caused by our presence, nothing else. Slice it and dice it any way you want. We destabilized that country, overthrew its government, executed its dictator, loosed hell, opened up a wormhole directly into the lowest ring of hell, and the demons have been flooding out ever since. But somehow we've learned to just, how many dead? We don't even ask anymore. It's just a punch in the gut along about noon, if you're paying attention. If you're not paying attention, you don't even get that. Boom. Oh, what was that? Oh, 87 dead in Iraq. Ah, man, that's a damn shame. Oh, look at the smoking cars. Look at the hole, where the marketplace used to be. Damn, what? But it's all cleaned up for us. We see smoking cars, but we never see burning body parts. And we don't see decapitated heads and children blown into red mist. We don't see that part. And we've learned to deal with that, to just handle it. Oh, okay. But it hits here. 33 dead, 20 in the hospital, more expected to die. And hell has been loosed on us. Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is the Nova M Radio Network. My name is Mike Malloy. Thank you for tuning in. Earlier tonight, we had an email from somebody who mentioned the laws, the gun laws in Israel, and I think the person was talking ironically that in Israel, the gun laws, people have firearms, and that hasn't helped them there. Well, Reggie over at TVNewsLies.org wants to correct that. Strict gun law, gun control, she writes, went into effect in Israel in 1972. Anyone convicted of carrying an unregistered gun faces a prison sentence. Here are the requirements for gun ownership in Israel. The Israel Department of the Interior makes notification to the general public the requirements necessary for the obtaining of a permit to possess a firearm. 1. Applicant must be a permanent resident of Israel for 3 consecutive years prior to making application for a firearms permit. 2. The applicant doesn't say how old the applicant has to be, but that's a factor. 3. The permit request must be for personal use, not to engage in the business of firearm sales. 4. Applicant must fall into one of the following categories. Part-time reservist for 3 years may own one handgun. Such a reservist is a member of a gun club. He may own one rifle, or she. Professional licensed public transportation driver transporting minimum of 5 passengers may own one handgun. Licensed animal control officer may own 2 hunting rifles, not automatic weapons or semi-automatic weapons, with a limited capacity magazine. And finally, full-time dealer of jewelry or large sums of cash or valuables may own one handgun. So the laws in Israel are strict. Of course, that doesn't absolve Israel from the fact that they are one of the, along with the United States and the Soviet Union, and now China, one of the major exporters of weaponry on the planet. This is from Roz in Montreal, or in Canada, I should say. Mike, let's not forget this. On December 6, 1989, as students and staff at L'École Polytechnique in Montreal went about the tasks of their everyday life, on the last day of classes, Mark Lepine walked into the engineering building armed with a semi-automatic rifle. He entered a fourth-year mechanical engineering class, ordered the men, approximately 50 of them, to leave, which they did. He then shot six women students to death, screaming the accusation that they were a, quote, bunch of feminists, end quote. Moving through the building, he murdered eight more women, shooting through the glass in a doorway at huddled bodies in the cafeteria. Nine other women and four men were injured before Lepine turned the gun on himself. He left a suicide note declaring the murders a political act and blaming feminism for ruining his life. He also left a hit list of 19 prominent Quebec women. Your country is not alone in this bizarre and aberrant behavior, Mike. And it's from Roz. Yeah, I do remember that now. It's so easy to file that into the deep memory and forget about it. But, yeah, I remember. The feminists. That sounds like something that would be ordered by Jerry Falwell or Pat Robertson. Last one, then back to your phone calls. This is from Jack in San Francisco. Mike, there's a lot of dishonesty about gun control. The right says it's not the guns, it's lone crazies who kill. The left says that times are different than they were in the 18th century, so therefore the Second Amendment has lost its relevancy. The same can be said about all of the Bill of Rights. The right-wing argument is bogus because without gun freedom, there would be no wacko going nuts and shooting up one place or another. You can't commit mass murder with a knife or with your hands. I don't know, maybe a good chainsaw and a full tank of gas, but even a chainsaw is more up close and personal, which would make the perpetrator vulnerable. Pulling a trigger a bunch of times, then turning it on oneself is easy. Can you imagine self-decapitation with a chainsaw? That would take extraordinary conviction, not to mention the cooperation of the autonomic nervous system. You're crazy, Jack. He goes on, even so, how will we fend for ourselves against Blackwater or any other corporate mercenary militia hired to round up and or kill Americans? Or what about our own military being taken over by Christian nuts? What will they do? Oh, God, we turned in our guns because 30 people were killed and now a few hundred thousand of us will go down. The single most important concept that Americans must understand about freedom is that risk comes with freedom. Life is cheap. Haven't you noticed? We're a death culture. How dare we express shock and dismay about today's killings? This is who we are every day. If we're going to stop killing, it will take an elevation of consciousness, which would bring about an abandonment of religion and an embracing of life instead of our daily focus on death. And we have a long way to go. Imagine that most of the dead were privileged white kids, thus an outrage. What if, on the heels of the Imus ordeal, somebody blew away 30 black rappers? Sure, Jesse and Reverend Al would foment an outrage that would spill into some liberal sectors of society, but there would be, would there be national disgust and sadness? The people who conquered this country, not the founders, the conquerors, they would say we've lost our guts. We're a bunch of lily-livered, unappreciative whiners. Maybe we should go massacre some of the few remaining American Indians just for practice and attempt to get our edge back. I don't know. What do you think? Incidentally, I don't own a gun and never will, Jack. In most of the emails tonight, I certainly detect a note of heavy-duty cynicism flavored with irony and goosed up a bit with an attitude that scares the bejesus out of me, but I'm easily scared. Back to your phone calls. Evan is calling from Durham, North Carolina. Evan, welcome to the program.
Yes, I got three words for you. Bowling for Columbine.
Yeah, really.
If you don't understand America, for all of these people out here who don't understand what happened today, they need to watch that movie. I saw that, and that movie is like the truth from beginning to end. Nothing but the truth. That should be required every class from 10th grade on.
That's true.
And, you know, if you don't understand why we still haven't impeached this guy, you need to watch that movie. If you don't understand why people are walking around here with camouflage skirts and camouflage sunglasses, camouflage prom tuxedos, and all this other garbage, then you need to watch that movie.
I hear you.
That, I mean, is right on point. And for all these other people, these lunatics who are calling up here, they want a police state. And I don't understand. Tell me how these two thoughts can exist in the same brain. On the one hand, they want marshals, armed marshals on the campuses, at the schools, in the churches, I guess, all over the place. They want all these armed marshals. And then at the same time, they'll say, well, the Second Amendment is the founder's way of giving us the option of revolution if the government oversteps its bounds.
Well, it's another indicator of insanity, the ability to hold two absolutely opposing ideas in your head at the same time. So they're crazy. They're crazy. That's all I'm saying. They're crazy, Evan.
Right. You're doing, thank you, man.
All right. Thanks for checking in, Evan. I appreciate it. Take care. Jeff writes in about no statement from the NRA today. What a pathetic organization is the NRA, Mike. No offers of condolence, no mention of this massacre whatsoever on their website. There is a power-mad arrogance with the NRA that really needs to be countered with the equivalent National Gun Control Association. The NRA doesn't make statements about acts of mass murder where the weapon of choice is something they favor until such time as enough right-wing politicians or left-wing politicians start raising the gun issue, and then the NRA usually makes a half-assed statement that I used to be a member of the NRA too. I've said that myself. I used to get their magazine, for God's sake, until they went crazy, until they hired Wayne the Peter to run the organization. What a geek that guy is, huh? Quick break here. We'll be back. Stay with us. Your phone calls when we come back. We have one open line if you want to get in here. The number is 800-989-1480. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Past the hour, another email here. We're reading a lot of emails tonight because you all are writing good ones, I guess. This is, I guess that's a wrong term given the subject matter, but you know what I mean. This is from Kate. Mike, I must disagree with the man who wrote that Americans love violence. I don't believe he could be more wrong. Far too many of us have been trained to violence by the full gamut of media, TV, movies, sports, video games. Far too many of us have been driven to violence by poverty, prejudice, injustice. Far too many of us have been seduced into violence by indifference, frustration, by dark humor. The war on poverty, the war on drugs, have attempted to deaden us to the horrors. As for my generation, they killed my first hero, President Kennedy, when I was 12, and that slaughter has continued to this day. Yet with all of that, only a tiny fraction of the 300 million of us actually open fire or hack up the neighbor or, God forbid, kill innocents. Most Americans abhor violence. The crime families have had to hide what they're doing in Iraq and the rest of the world. They have had to lie over and over and over. But people are finding out, and 70% of us want this carnage in Iraq to stop. We want this military misery inflicted in our name to end for always. Most Americans that are aware want an end to imperialism and corporate conquest. Somehow or other, this country is shaking off the severe case of post-traumatic stress disorder that was initiated on September 11th, sloughing off the dead flesh of fear that they have been wrapping us in for years, and remembering that this is not who we are. Well, yeah, I'd like to believe that, too. Maybe I do believe it. But when I see an email from someone that says, we love violence, I can't help but think that there's an element of perverse truth to that. If love might not be the right word, we're attracted to, or, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know anything. I know nothing. Back to your phone calls. Greg is calling from Columbus, Ohio. Greg, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Love the show, man.
Thank you.
I got a kind of a question or a statement to make. This past week, as far as the shooting goes, me and my family went on a cruise down to the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And it really strikes me how when we went to the airport, there was one person that attempted to blow up a plane by lighting his shoe.
What now?
Yeah. Well, there was one person, I mean, years ago, that Richard guy tried to...
Oh, yeah. Okay. So now everybody takes their shoes off.
Yeah, so everybody has to take off their shoes.
Right.
And then a couple of people otherwise, like what, last year and over in England or whatever, were talking about blowing up a plane with liquids.
Right.
So they made my wife, you know,
sure,
take all the stuff out of her cage. You know, oh, you can't use this, you can't use...
Right.
But here in America, how many times with Columbine... with what happened today, people go in places with automatic weapons and blow people away, and it's just, well, that's how it is. What is up with the NRA?
They wield a lot of power in with Democrats as well as Republicans, more so with Republicans, I think. But look at Mitt Romney. In order to get his bona fides that he is a good card-carrying NRA member and loves
that
guns.
That he was a hunter.
Yeah, he used to stand up and say he's a hunter. He's a hunter like I'm a welder.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know crap about welding. So, you know, I don't know what it is. The movie Bowling for Columbine, I think Michael Moore tried to explain it.
Yeah, I watched that.
Yeah, I don't know, does it go back to the Wild West? Does it go back to the fact that this country was built on genocide and slavery? And every white man has to feel that he's got to carry a gun? You know, here's the weird part. I don't know what your race is, but I don't ever hear black people advocating for the right to carry guns. Now,
well,
I understand there's shootings in every community, Latino, black, white, it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
But I don't ever hear black folk talking about, we need to have a right to bear arms. I'm sure there's some, but you know what I'm saying. I don't hear it.
Yeah. Well, I have a gun, and I tell you right now, I'm scared to death of it. I don't use it.
Right.
The gun is upstairs, and the bullet is in the garage or something.
Yeah.
This mad obsession with having guns and having a right to have them.
Mm-hmm.
And what really gets me, Mike, is it's not just having a gun. It's the assault weapon.
I hear you.
You have an assault weapon. That's meant to kill a lot of people.
And very quickly.
It's not meant to kill. You go out and shoot a deer, or if you want to go out and, you know,
no, it's to wipe out a lot of people.
It's
very
meant
fast.
To wipe out a lot of people. And
hey,
like I said,
I got a break, Greg.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call.
All right, thanks for checking in. I appreciate
right,
it. I appreciate it. Take care. You know, I'm starting to think about what that caller or the emailer wrote in about, you know, me getting rid of my guns as to set an example. I might do that when I get back in Atlanta. We'll be back in a minute.
Yeah.
Welcome back. About 26 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Ramona is calling from Hammond, Indiana. Ramona, welcome to the program. Hey, Ramona.
Hi. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I was calling because I was just really upset about what happened today because it seems like all the violence is directed toward people that cannot defend themselves.
That's true, yeah.
You know, I'm just like, you know, those kids today and then the people in Iraq. And I wanted to bring up my granddaughter, what happened the other day. My granddaughter, I told you, her dad's serving his second tour in Iraq.
Yes, right.
And yeah, and she has problems. She has nightmares. And she wanted to have a support group at her school, but unfortunately she's the only one, well, I guess fortunately, she's the only one in her school with a father in Iraq. So therefore, there was no, they couldn't set up a support group. So she's joined our little gathering that we have, you know, our protest against the war. It's therapeutic for her. And the other day we were protesting, and she had her sign that said, "Stop the war, bring my daddy home." Mm-hmm. And we were leaving, and she had put her sign down, and she was tying her shoes. And these young kids came by, and they were yelling obscenities to her.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No, I'm not. And
were kids her age?
No, they were probably early 20s.
Oh, Jesus, God. Oh, man.
And I was so afraid for her, you know, and I just thought, oh, geez. You know, and I ran over because I was not near her. So I ran to her, and we took her away. But and I asked her, I said, you know, did that scare you? And she said, no, it's not going to scare me. I'm not going to stop.
I can't see. That's part of this culture or people in the society or people that breathe the same air that your granddaughter does. I don't understand how their twisted, evil little rat brains can come up with something like that. How old's your granddaughter?
She's 10.
She's 10 years old, and they're hollering this garbage at a 10-year-old?
Yeah, they were hollering all kinds of.
Oh, Jesus! I don't know, Ramona. You know, I hear something like that, and I just want to. I don't know what I want to do. It's just obscene. And your 10-year-old daughter, I can't imagine what must be going through her mind about her father being gone. I just wish your granddaughter could go to D.C. and could walk up to George Bush and say, I'm having bad dreams and I'm sick and I'm scared because you've made my dad go to Iraq. Is her dad in the Reserve, National Guard, what?
He's in the Army.
He's a regular Army?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And to say to him, to say to Bush, this war is unnecessary. My dad joined the Army for a certain reason. It wasn't to do this. Jesus, I don't know, Ramona. My heart breaks for your granddaughter. That's all I can say. My heart breaks for her.
Yeah, but he did. He was able to call her the next day, so that made her feel better.
Well, I'm glad of that. But when's he due to come home, your son?
Well, he's been extended, so he won't come home until November, if then. So.
November.
Mm-hmm.
And how does your granddaughter I'm asking this question for every kid that has a dad in Iraq. How does your granddaughter handle this?
Well, like I say, she's joined our little protest group, and that seems to help her somewhat.
And she's 10.
She's 10.
10-year-olds shouldn't have to think about that. 10-year-olds in Iraq shouldn't have to think about being blown up or seeing dead bodies on the way to school. And 10-year-olds in this country shouldn't have to worry about their dads being killed. I swear to God. All right, Ramona, stay in touch, okay?
I will do that. Thanks, Mike.
All right, thanks for checking in. Man, I have an almost 3-year-old in Atlanta, and I'm in Phoenix tonight. And I have been gone since Saturday morning. That's all. Saturday morning. This is Monday night. And I talked to Molly, my almost 3-year-old, on the phone yesterday and tonight. And I hear her. I hear what passes for almost 3-year-old anxiety in her voice. Daddy, I don't like Phoenix. Come home, Daddy, because, you know, we tried to tell her, you know, Daddy's going to be gone for a few days. Where are you going? I'm going to Phoenix. Are you going on an airplane? Yeah, I'm going on an airplane. To Phoenix? Yeah. You know, she knows what Phoenix is like I know what a quark is. You know, I mean, it doesn't register, but to a kid. And I think about Molly, who genuinely misses me. I've been gone for 72 hours. How do kids who are 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and like Ramona's granddaughter, 10, how do they deal with that? With their fathers gone. What about the ones whose mothers are gone? And you want to know something? Yeah, I'm going to put race in it. So many of these kids who have a mother who is in a war zone are African-American kids. Have you noticed that? Have you seen that? I'm not saying all. I'm not saying every single one. I'm saying the majority. You've seen it. You've seen it on television. You know what I'm talking about. How do these kids, black or white or Latino, I don't care what they are, how do they handle this? How do they handle this? And I think about, you know, I can't help it. I think about Molly. I think about what if I were in Iraq? What if I were in Afghanistan? What would... I just don't like this. I don't like it. I hate it. Back to your phone calls. Art is calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Art, welcome to the program. Hey, Art.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
It's going.
Well, thanks for taking my call. I've been listening to some of the comments tonight regarding the tragedy at Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
And I've noticed a lot of the callers are confusing this criminal, the NRA, as well as other law-abiding gun holders or gun owners in the United States, including yourself as a gun owner. I don't think that leap should be made. The association with the NRA to what happened today is it shouldn't be happening because they're not related. I mean, I understand people.
Well, I think there is a relationship, and I'll tell you what it is, Art. The NRA, an organization of which I used to be a member until, like I said, I think they went mad. The NRA has done everything that it can, which is considerable, in preventing the passage of any sort of reasonable gun control laws in this country. That's why, in my opinion, they are responsible to the degree that they work against gun control laws or gun registration laws. And I'll tell you why. A killer is going to get a weapon. I understand that. But if a killer, a potential killer, knows somewhere in his sick mind that in order to get a gun, he's going to have to go through A, B, C, and D. Now, maybe he'll say, to hell with that, I can, you know, I'll buy one from somebody out of a trunk of a car. I understand all that. But the reason I put the NRA as culpable, not guilty, but culpable every time something like this happens is because the NRA has done everything in its power to prevent even a dialogue about the necessity of gun control laws or gun registration laws in this country. That's why I hold them culpable. I'm not saying guilty. I'm saying culpable. They're partly responsible for this, and I believe that as a former NRA member.
Well, I understand your feelings, but I think you do have to factor in that this is a criminal we're talking about, and the gun laws you're talking about only apply to you and I.
All right, now wait. He's a criminal now because he's committed mass murder. What was he at 6 o'clock Eastern time this morning before he opened fire? Was he a sick individual? We don't know anything about him. You know why we don't know anything about him? They can't identify him. Why can't they identify him? He blew his face off when he committed suicide. A. B.
Okay.
Apparently, he's not a criminal. His fingerprints don't turn up, so far anyway, in an FBI database. Hell, my fingerprints turn up in an FBI database.
Right.
So this guy was not a criminal. He's not a criminal, Art. He was somebody who went insane, I'm assuming, and got a couple of handguns and murdered 33 people. And again, I hold the IRA culpable in this because they absolutely refuse to use their power to bring into effect sensible, rational gun licensing and gun control. In fact, they do everything to prevent any of that from happening. That's why I hold them responsible, Art. I'm sorry.
Well, and your assumption is that this guy would have tried to license or register his weapons. I don't buy that. I don't either.
I don't either. Somebody who's insane is going to get a gun someplace. I'm talking about the overall pro gun attitude in this country. You and I don't know, and we'll never know if this country were based on the or not based on, but if we had gun laws based on the idea that you have got to go through the hoops in order to get a permit to own a gun, how that would affect people who know that those hoops aren't there.
Like you said, they'll buy it out of the trunk of a vehicle, which is illegal.
Right, but we don't know what kind of an impact it would have on people who are contemplating mass murder if they understand that it's difficult to get a gun. I don't know. So you and I can sit here and talk about this all night. All I'm saying is the abundance of weapons, unlicensed, unregistered in this society is where this comes from. It does. I'm sorry, Art. It just does.
Well, you also know the stats, too, that when there's more gun restrictions there are in other countries that we talked about that are comparable to the U.S., those crime rates have gone up.
Well, I don't.
Same with states that have concealed carry permits. In those states that have the permits, violent crimes actually decrease because that.
I can find you arguments that contradict that. I just can't do it right now, Art. I got to leave it there. Thanks for checking in.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Appreciate your call. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. It's about 9 before the hour, thanks to the usual crew of bandits and a couple of additions tonight who made the program happen. Kim Macias, who answered your phones tonight, who is the real boss out here at KPHX in Phoenix. Also Ian Huff, who did not answer your calls tonight, but engineered the program. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Mark Marshall, our webmaster, and, of course, Catherine Bay, who's back in Atlanta, not executive producing the program tonight, but thanks anyway, Kathy. You deserve a night off. Anyway, thanks to the crew, and also to all the people who participated in the event that Nova M Radio had here in Phoenix Sunday, yesterday. It was just an absolute hoot. Like I said, the time was not right to talk about it tonight, and I don't know that we should have anyway, because it was a local event here in Phoenix. But we had a lot of folks who came in from out of state, out of town for this for the first birthday party of Nova M, and we do appreciate it very, very much. And it was an awful lot of fun. And I think also that's probably why the news today of this mass murder in Virginia was such hit with such force. When you're just kind of living your life, it hits with force. But when you're living your life and you've had a good time the day before and then something like this comes up, it's just like, I don't know, it's like a hurricane. Like a hurricane. One more email from Jen. Glad to hear your voice. Believe me, it's comforting sound to hear, especially after all the events today. I'll be honest with you, I'm tired of caring. I know it sounds cold and heartless, but I'm just too tired and too frustrated to care like I should. If anything, my mind is thinking we are freaking reaping what we have sown. Just as Michael Moore illustrated in Bowling for Columbine, our history is built on fear, hate, and guns. The media will try to answer questions of why it happened and what could have been done to stop it. and what could be done to stop future shootings, but will anyone up on Capitol Hill ever truly care? Will there be a president that tells corporate fat balding suits with cigars in their mouth that no, they can't control this country like they are? Nope, it will go back to the same old way. I don't look forward to this week or even next week because this story will be on the front page and on every news show, just like IMUS and every other so-called big story. I am deeply sorry for all the students and families and everyone involved in that campus. They will get my silent wishes all week, but I can't care the way I'm supposed to anymore. The media will demand me to care and try and pull my heartstrings, but I'm just too tired of the yo-yo game with my emotions that ends up with me in the exact same place, struggling to pay my bills, trying not to get too worn down by work from work that I don't end up back in the hospital and cursing at this damn broken experiment called democracy. Now more than ever, I wish the Founding Fathers had a glimpse of what we have to live through. What would they change in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights? Jen. Back to your phone calls. Nate is calling from Memphis, Tennessee. Nate, welcome to the program.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Hey, I want to say I'm a fairly conservative fellow, more of a common sense conservative than I guess some of the Christian right wing. I'm pro-gun. My dad's been taking me hunting since I was 2.5 years old. I've been around guns all my life. Originally, I'm from Canada. I moved here about 7 years ago, and I'm actually going to become a citizen in about 2 weeks. But what frustrates me about guns down here, and I own a lot of guns. I own a pistol. I have a carry permit. But it's the people that get, in Canada, what they did about 2-3 years, Paul Martin, the previous prime minister, about 6 years ago implemented registration of all firearms. And what that did was a whole bunch of pork barrel spending, did absolutely no good. Canada, as you know, has very few shootings. It's not that the guns aren't there. It's, the people who have them are law-abiding citizens. And what we have down here is just a mass availability. But what Canada does do well, and they've gone back to this with the new laws, I guess, is it's just simple gun licensing. I mean, it's just like a driver's license, except you get background checks. You carry this thing around. If you have a gun, you have to have this card. It would solve so many problems, I think, down here. It's just people that get guns that shouldn't have guns. And if you get stopped by in a traffic stop, you have a gun, and you don't have a permit to have that gun. I mean, that should be a felony. I mean, it's crazy.
All right. Well, let me just interrupt because Nate, what you're talking about, gun registration, is something that the NRA in the United States and the NRA in Canada and the NRA in the UK and the NRA in just about Australia, just about every country on earth. They will send their representatives to work against gun registration. So what you're advocating, the idea that if people are going to own a gun, they have to have it registered, this is something the NRA absolutely refuses to go along with. Now, I just have to ask you one question. You're aware of that, right?
No. I'm saying that gun registration does no good.
Okay, listen, Nate.
Licensing people to have guns is completely different, and I think that would be... make so much more sense.
Well, but they're one and the same. Nate, I have to leave it there. I hope we talk again, but I've just got to go. I do appreciate you checking in. I'm off tomorrow night, a travel night. Who's substituting? Jeff Farias will be substituting tomorrow night again. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it. I'll see you Wednesday. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.